This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America tonight. Happy holidays, everybody. I hope you are spending it with your family or just chillaxing, sitting by a fire, maybe somewhere drinking. I'm going to drink some of my, actually, it's just coffee. I was going to say eggnog. You know what? This is interesting. I had a big debate, and it even went over onto Facebook about fruitcake. I know some of you like fruitcake. I just don't like fruitcake. And somebody called me from Memphis and said, if you warm it up, it tastes so much better. Just warm up the fruitcake, and you'll see why we like fruitcake. Some of it has nuts in it. Some of it has, of course, it has fruit, dried fruit, different kind of fruit. And I don't know, maybe I will give fruitcake another chance for all of you that were concerned that I was just writing off the fruitcake too soon. What I like about the holidays is I haven't seen my family. I haven't seen my brother. And some of you can also relate to this, right? I haven't seen my brother, my sister-in-law, a really super close aunt. I haven't seen the three of them, and they live in Florida. I haven't seen them in a year. So I'm excited to actually go and get to spend some time with them. And throughout the next couple of days, we'll be giving you the best of America tonight. I said this in the previous hour, but I've interviewed over 12,000 people. So many of them have been here on ATN, and thank you for your support of this show. I call it the little show that can and will, and we're doing it, and we're going to keep doing it, and I'm excited about so many of those conversations that we had. And you know what? So many of those conversations, of course, centered around politics. And we know that Mexico was one of the major themes in Donald Trump's run to getting the nomination for the Republicans and ultimately winning the presidency. The whole thing about the wall and immigration, and then there's concerns about trade with Mexico. So check this out. This is one thing I have to say. There's no doubt Trump just will reach out to whoever. Right? So you see the parade of people that have come up to his place in New York. And now how about this? The president-elect eating dinner with Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, which is his estate, over the weekend for what he talked about was a lovely dinner with a wonderful man. The meeting, for some, when I say that, Carlos Slim, who was at one point the richest man in the world, the fact that he's doing that after all the jabbing over Mexico over the course of the campaign is just shows you. And, you know, if you go back and you look at his tweets where he says the Mexican legal system is corrupt, as is much of Mexico, pay me the money that is owed me now, stop sending criminals over our border, and then the border is wide open for cartels and terrorists. Secure our border now. Build a massive wall and deduct the costs from Mexican foreign aid, and so on and, you know, so forth. Slim's fortune was hit hard by Trump's election, his net worth sinking by nearly $5 billion in just 4 days after the election. Trump also claimed, by the way, that he was working with the Times to help the Clinton campaign smear him. So, you know, his thought was obviously he's pushing against him and he has a voice in Mexico, and here they are dining. So, you know, you got to give him credit for the people that he reaches out to and what he's able to make happen. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Okay, here's another kind of curveball to Trump. This whole thing of Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, and there's critical mass against it, and there's critical for it, so that's not a surprise, right, because he's the CEO of Exxon. But here we are in the holiday season, and there's much discussion about this, because coming up on January 20th, we have the inauguration, and there is the cabinet forming, as we've been talking about that a lot on America Tonight. So the former president, George W. Bush, praised Trump's Secretary of State nominee, Rex Tillerson, and offered support for the ExxonMobil CEO. Here's the deal. He said that Tillerson is a smart guy. And, you know, you have Senator Bob Corker, which that lays her flat, but he said he had a good conversation with the Secretary of State nominee. And he said he's looking forward to meeting with him. And he got a call from George W. Bush, who spoke highly of Tillerson and offered support for his nomination. And one thing that Corker said in a conversation he had with Hugh Hewitt is that Bush never called him before to discuss a cabinet nominee. Never, never, never. And he was just over the top with his praise. He said he's talked to him about other things, but never a nominee. So Corker said, I think he's going to get Republican support. He's going to get a lot of it, but I think he's going to get a lot of Democratic support. Because, you know, here's the deal. A lot of people are criticizing Tillerson, and I was concerned about this, about his ties to the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. But I think it's good to have people lobbying for him. If he's my nominee, it's good to have people lobbying for him that know him, that have dealt with him. And you know, there is and should be some concern about it. Because, again, you think of the ties to oil, but how well do you know him? So that's why you have the nomination process, to poke holes in what's happening, right? Absolutely. All right, 'tis the season for football, and I want to tell everybody that Nail the Score will be back on Thursday the 29th. Got to make sure I have my days right. I'm brutal on the days. Thursday the 29th for another edition of Nail the Score. And and we're going to do a double dip because we owe you one from last week. Sorry about that. My mother-in-law got sick, and luckily she's fine, but, you know, that led to the fact that we missed Nail the Score for you, and I know I want to make sure you get Nail the Score. So anyway, Nail the Score, we're going to have a double dip on Nail the Score, which is really cool. So that'll give you two different games that you can nail, and that'll be on the 29th, the 29th of January. I can't say that enough because I know you'll be looking for that. And I'll post it also on the America Tonight website, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. How's that? You know, it's funny, in talking about football, there's so much conversation about the national championship and who can beat Alabama. And the answer is, who can beat Alabama? You've got a couple of teams if they make it in. What's going to happen in the other semifinal matchup, which is Clemson and Ohio State? What's going to happen in Alabama's meeting with Washington? You know, on any given day, anything can turn in a different direction. But I was looking back at what were the 9 football teams that could beat Alabama even during the regular season. And of course, Alabama was perfect. They had some close games, but Arkansas was listed and that didn't happen. Clemson was listed. Michigan was listed and Tennessee was listed and Washington was listed. And in Washington, they talked about that Chris Peterson, who is the coach of Washington and is in the front seat and knows what he's doing. What they talked about was, you know, Washington has forced lots of turnovers, and they're number one in turnover margin. And in just 5 games, they forced 15 turnovers. So if they're able to do that, could they beat Alabama? And you know what the answer is? Yes, they can. It's Alabama and Washington in the one semifinal game on New Year's Eve. And of course, the other one is Clemson and Ohio State. So we'll see. Question mark, question mark. All right, hang with us. The best of some of the great conversations we had during the year coming up around the bend on America Tonight.
Check it out.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This time around on Out of the Park, pleased to bring you, he's in our virtual green room right now, Greg Stebbins. He's one of the editors of Men's Health Magazine, and he's published 16 books in various forms. So, 17. Oh, my gosh. So when you talk about...
I was publishing one while you were speaking. You didn't even know about it.
Oh. So when you talk about having knowledge of the business, this guy definitely has it. Greg, first of all, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And I think this is pretty relevant. When you look at being topical and jumping on ideas that could be relevant to people and certainly things that would be sellable, one of them is we just went through months ago and, you know, a presidential election, and you had an idea about a book that would be related to Trump. Tell us about the book, the idea, and then what happened.
Sure. And it's really a fascinating case study for the larger discussion that I think is worth having here. And let me start with my sort of thesis for that, and that is, as a guy who has published a lot of books, one of the things I've learned the hard way, and I'd like to save your listeners from learning the same lesson the hard way, is that for most of us, there's no reason going through the effort of writing and then publishing a book if there's not a business model behind it to support the book. So I can tell you from experience that how most authors have a book go from idea to publication is they have the idea, they write it or get a publishing contract and then write it, or decide they're going to self-publish and then write it. And once they finish the book, then they say to themselves, now what do I do? and it's the wrong order. It's a crazy, and it's a mistake I've made myself. What you really should do is have an idea, create a business model around it, so you know exactly what you're going to do once those books arrive, either online in a digital form or a print-on-demand form or even in boxes that end up in your garage. You know exactly what you're going to do to market them to your intended audience. And that business plan, believe it or not, is the part that people sometimes never figure out, because I have lots of author friends who have written books and never had a clue about the business part. Still, and you don't want your listeners to make that same mistake.
All right, so let's take me through the process. How, if they're listening, paying attention, and remember too, with speakers, sometimes in their minds they say, "Well, I have a passion about XYZ, and I can sell that when I'm out there speaking, so I'm not as concerned about trying to make this, put this available, make this out there for the." Bigger audience, except for that, I think you want to reach that bigger audience, even if you are mostly selling from what we call the back of the room.
Maybe you do and maybe you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the business model comes in. You want to, you know, first of all, there's something I used to call the Oprah illusion. Now, Oprah's no longer on TV, but the rule applies. Every author, while Oprah was on TV, had the dream of getting on Oprah. But I can't tell you how many authors I know who got on Oprah, saw a little spike in sales that day, and then never again. The point here is there is no magic bullet for making a book a big seller or a bestseller. There is no magic. You might get lucky, and it might go viral, or something might happen, and I can share my own experience with that, because I got lucky once. But thinking there's you're going to do this one thing and it's somehow going to magically transform you into a best-selling author, it may happen. I wouldn't plan on it. I would make a real business plan with real strategic ideas behind it and the money that it's going to take and the effort that it's going to take. Otherwise, as I jokingly have been known to say, when you particularly self-publish a book, what you end up with, if you're not smart about it, is a garage full of books.
Yeah.
So the point here for speakers in particular is maybe selling books from the back of the room is enough. And if you actually, you know, build an audience beyond the people you're touching in a room, good for you. But don't count on that unless you have a really rock solid plan to achieve it and make sure the effort and the money that's going to go into writing and publishing that book and sales only from the back of the room is going to justify it. And some speakers may even say, I think just writing the book and having it available to send out to bookers, that's enough of a business plan for me to justify doing it. And I would agree. If you've made that calculation and it gets you more bookings and your book never, if only 10 people in the world ever see your book and it gets you 10 more of the bookings that you want and you know what you're going to be paid to do them, then it was well worth it if you did the math to prove it.
Yeah, so there you go. When you said you got lucky, tell us about that story.
Well, back in the 90s, I went to see the movie The American President with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening, and I walked out of the theater thinking, huh, I don't know that much about presidents. I mean, you know, my American history knowledge is weak. Maybe there really had been a president whose wife died, was a widower in the White House, and had a daughter, and then he was dating while president. I went home that night. I went online. I did a little research on the history of presidents. I got kind of interested, and literally that night wrote a book proposal and sold it the next day.
Wow.
So that book, the third edition, which just came out, is called White House Confidential. That book, the day the publisher, this was a long time ago, so the day the publisher was sent the book to the printer was the day the Monica Lewinsky story broke. I asked the publisher to let me add one sentence about Monica Lewinsky. Remember, we didn't know there was going to be an impeachment. We didn't know what was coming.
Right.
Added one sentence about her, and literally the day the book came out was the day Ken Starr sent the report to Congress in the banker boxes in the white suburban. And if you're too young, you may not remember this, but if you're old enough to remember this, you'll realize that this was one of the biggest news stories of the 20th century. Or the late 20th century. So I was in the right place at the right time, and I used that to get myself on CNN and Entertainment Tonight and radio, hundreds and hundreds of radio interviews in the LA Times, and, you know, I got lucky.
But you got lucky.
You can't bank luck. You can do everything you can to make it, and that's why I go back to what I said earlier. You better have a business plan, and the truth is, for that book, I did not have a business plan. I got lucky. But I learned with that book that for every book since, if I can't make a good business case for writing and publishing the book, I don't write and publish the book. And in fact, just this week, I backed out of a book deal because I realized I couldn't make a business case for it.
Wow, so you knew, because, hey, there's no way to make money on this. There's no way to get heard, because whether it's getting bookings or whatever it is, you knew that wasn't going to happen, right?
Right, and I mean, you know, just to fine-tune what you just said, again, your goal may not be to have millions of people read your book. Your goal may not even be to make money from your book. You may have some other goal, and that's why there's lots of publishers that offer services to people like speakers and business executives to publish a book to use as a calling card. That's a very powerful way to use the medium of a book that's not directly going to make you money, but it may be the difference between you getting the meeting or not getting the meeting, or getting the booking or not getting the booking. But again, that should be calculated into your business plan. If you can look and say, I think writing and publishing a book will get me 10 times or 10 will get me, if I think writing a book will get me 20% more bookings, that doesn't even take into account what you're selling from the back of the room. 20% more bookings equals X dollars, and wow, that's really worth it. I'm going to go for it. If you're just writing a book to write a book, then it's not a, then you don't have a business model, you have a hobby.
Yeah, there you go. You have a hobby. Some things to think about, that's for sure. Greg Stebbins, thanks so much for joining us on Out of the Park.
It's great to be here.
Wow, so you can see by what Greg said, pretty interesting, not so easy when you peel back the onion on what it's like to get a book published and what it takes, and the fact that, as we say so often, that it is about the business. So is it business or not? And people have spent lots of money coming up with ways to publish their memoirs and thoughts on whatever it might be. And sure enough, they find themselves in that position where they've got, as he said, a garage full of books, and they're out sometimes upwards of $25,000, because they have this idea, if they come up with this great book, it's going to fly off the shelves virtually. And how great would that be? And it will definitely direct people toward their business. But he's right. It's the opposite. It's about the business and coming up with a blueprint for that first. So stay with us. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code America and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code America. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
Once again, is in our virtual green room. He's an attorney. We've had him on before. Terrific when we've talked about, you know, some big, bad current legal issues or what's led to cases that are intriguing, like this Hall of Fame game. You know, it was just a handful of weeks ago I was talking about the excitement of, wow, this signifies the NFL is back. It's a preseason game. But who does want to see Green Bay take on the Colts? And now you got these Hall of Fame game ticket holders who are accusing the NFL of a breach of contract. And, you know, have they done that? How do you prove that in court? And boy, this is going to be pretty darn interesting to watch this happen, because these ticket holders are suing the National Football League, saying that it's a breach of contract by canceling that game with the big screw up as to what happened there, the painting on the field, which led to all the problems of the gunkiness on the field and the players saying that they couldn't play, but regardless, there was no game. So who's at fault? Waleed, thanks so much for bouncing back on with us. We appreciate it.
Kate, thank you so much for having me. And you know, I think you pointed out, and you kind of really establish what this lawsuit is all about. So the Hall of Fame game is kind of a big deal every year because it marks a couple of things, right, for the NFL. It marks, number one, the NFL, you know, it's the day after the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And then following that, you've got this, you kind of kick off the football season. The Hall of Fame game is the first exhibition generally every year. And this year you had some pretty good teams. I mean, the Green Bay Packers and the Colts. And, you know, the stadium seats about 23,000 people, I think. So it's about 23,000 people. So, you know, you had people, and it's different for the reasons you talked about. It's different than any other game because, you know, people come from all over the country to come and see this Hall of Fame game. So the lawsuits, this is what the lawsuit really contends. You've got people from all over the country that came, you know, that went to Canton, Ohio, specifically to watch this game. And the game was supposed to kick off at 8 p.m. And as late as, you know, 6:30 p.m., all these fans were entering into the stadium. They were going to the concessions. They were buying their food, their souvenirs, you know, things that you'd normally buy when you attend the football game. And shortly before kickoff, the PA announcer canceled the game. So those are the lawsuit contentions. So what are the fans asking for? You know, obviously this is a class action lawsuit, and the fans are saying, look, there was an offer letter, and this is meaningful, there was an offer letter, Kate, that was sent by the attorney for the class, for, in other words, an attorney for the fans. And he gave an offer to the NFL that's due apparently at the end of the day tomorrow, okay?
Mm.
And what does the offer letter say? The offer letter says, look, if you look at the, if you take the average of the 23,000 tickets that were sold, were, you know, the out-of-pocket expenses, meaning the airfare, the ground transportation, the gas, all of that stuff is going to be about $700 per person. We're willing to settle this case for $450. We're going to give you a discount, the letter says, if you settle this case for $450 per ticket holder, which is still about, you know, more than $10 million, if the NFL agrees to terms by end of day tomorrow. So we have a little bit, Kate, of a wait and see of what happens end of day tomorrow.
Yeah, what does your gut tell you on this?
You know, it's interesting. It's the NFL has, first of all, and this is important. The NFL, the first thing the NFL did is they said, listen, we're going to make sure we refund all of the ticket prices. So from the NFL standpoint, they're going to refund all the ticket prices for all the 23,000 ticket holders. So the remaining portions of this lawsuit don't have to do, Kate, they don't have to do with the actual ticket price. What they have to do with is the incidentals we just talked about, the travel, the you know, the gas, the mileage, this type of stuff. And whether the NFL decides to settle, I think, you know, I think it's going to be a business decision. If they end up settling now, which could be a reasonable thing to do, the NFL would probably question, does this open the doors to additional litigation, right, if something like this were to happen in the future? It's going to be a business decision. It's going to be something decided between, you know, on a business basis by the NFL. Hard to tell, but I'll tell you, because we've got a deadline of tomorrow, we're gonna know sooner than later, right, whether this lawsuit is going to
come out. Yeah, and you know what? There's you said it too, like I mentioned in the beginning, there's so much emotion with this, and people do come from all over, and it's that rare moment because it's tough to get those tickets to the Hall of Fame game, frankly, because you've got the day before football players who were inducted into the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people come from those particular teams to cheer on their favorite person that's getting inducted, and it really is a tough ticket to get. So there's people that spent some money to get there, and that I think that plays into this.
Kate, you make some very important points because you add two additional points. Okay, the additional point number one is people, when they go to the Hall of Fame game, is they make a weekend of it, right? They're generally, they want to see, they want to have access to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and then they want to watch the football game. So it's not simply, you know, you take your car or you take the train to your local stadium. People make a weekend of this. That's what the lawsuit would generally insinuate to. The second thing is, and you know, by contrast, where local stadiums, other major NFL stadiums in major cities have much larger capacities, and I think this is the second point that you alluded to. In this game, you have, you're talking about 23,000 ticket holders, right? You're not talking about 80,000, 90,000 fans. So it's a little bit of a different story, as you indicate.
Yeah. All right. Walid, as I said before, always fun to have you on the show. Thank you so much for throwing in your two cents on this pretty interesting issue.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you, Kate. Have a great day.
So as I mentioned, the key thing in this lawsuit is, and what Walid talked about, is the emotion, I think, connected to it. Now, you could say, well, that's not the law. It's the letter of the law. And it is. But when you start to throw in the NFL, you start to throw in tickets where they came from, mix it all up, it's a little bit stronger for the group that is filing the lawsuit. I mean, I'm sure they were raging, maniacs as far as being disappointed when that happened, because it was a stupid mistake. Let's face it. Oh, we're painting the field. Really? I'm sorry, this paint isn't drying and it's ruining the field? I mean, that was really, again, something that just shouldn't have gotten by, but it did. So it happened, and they canceled the game. They weren't going to put the players out there, and there were a lot of people that were furious over that, including the owners of both of those football teams. So in looking at, you know, this class action suit, it's filed against the NFL and the National Football Museum, by the way, so the league and the museum. And it's doing business at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so to be technical about it, alleging they breached their obligations by canceling the game due to factors under the defendant's control. See, and that's the key. That goes to that whole painting thing. So alleging the breach of contract, canceling, because we're not saying it's lightning that you cannot withstand. It's not some unforeseen deal. It's something that could have happened. You have people that took vacations. They were staying in hotels. The kind of costs associated with this in some cases, in some of, I'm sure, these plaintiffs' cases, was pretty high. And here's the other thing. They're also saying that the scoreboard, so people were going there, and it was kicking down, you know, ticking down, tick, 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 for that 8 o'clock kickoff. So the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame were encouraging fans to continue to buy food and to buy drinks and souvenirs, and they didn't tell them about the possibility of this cancellation of the game. So that would really, that's like rubbing your nose in it, isn't it? You're sitting there in the stands, woohoo! Well, there's something going on in the field, but it's going to be okay. Let's get another hot dog. We'll have another beer. And you're spending money. And you're like so excited, you're into it. Oh, let's get a t-shirt. Yeah. Let's get one of those expensive t-shirts. So there may be something here. And this, of course, like I mentioned, comes out of Ohio. We'll be keeping a close eye on that because these class action suits, to me, anyway, are interesting. The plaintiffs want a trial by jury, and they want, you know, economic loss. That's what they're looking for, and court costs and pre- and post-judgment interests and all of that. But I think it's interesting. They really, really want a jury trial, and a jury, you know how that is, jury of your peers. It really could go either way, and I could see the emotion tied to this, like I said, even if they say take the emotion out. All right, boy, that was interesting stuff. We'll be eyeballing it. Stay with us. Coming up next, we're talking to Dr. Joe Alton about the Zika virus, these Louisiana floods, and what's happening, by the way, also with California. Because in California, you have the raging Southern California, which I thought was nothing because everything was happening in Northern California. You have the fires there. They're having a hard time, they being the thousands of firefighters, it's over 1,600, who are trying desperately to not see this continue to jump over the highway because it spreads to more subdivisions and more homes, leads to more evacuations, and then, frankly, even the danger, the health danger, even for the firefighters is, you know, absolutely frightening. Anyway, Dr. Joe Alton from Florida joins us next here on America Tonight.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need some extra cash for Christmas presents this year? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If you could use extra cash for Christmas, turn your radio up. 45cash.com specializes in connecting you with a lender ready to give you the cash you need for Christmas. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right. No paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com to request up to $5,000 for Christmas spending in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent. And in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
This time around on Out of the Park, I want to introduce you to Mark Goldman. He's the co-founder and media relations specialist at Goldman McCormick in New York City. He comes from an interesting background, court TV, radio, Sirius, satellite radio, a lot of business talk radio, a lot of experience. And boy, has the landscape changed. So I thought it'd be fun to have Mark join us. Mark, first of all, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure to be on your program today, Kate. Thank you.
So how tough is it to get heard these days when you think you've got something that you're speaking about that's revolutionary, you've got a great book, whatever the idea is, whatever your platform is, how tough is it to get noticed with the way the media landscape has changed?
Fantastic question. You know, it's not hard to get noticed if you have the right kind of topic, if it's relatable into the news, and you have the right PR person.
Yeah, and you think you know, people debate about that, as you know. There's a thought that goes around that, well, you know, you can get publicity on your own. You can call newsrooms, you can hit up newspapers, you can get in touch with bloggers, and you can do that. But what I've found is, honestly, through my own survey that I've done with a lot of my friends, etc., is that there is no definite way to skin the cat, and it's tough to do it on your own.
Absolutely. When you know what? When you hire a public relations firm, you're kind of hiring their relationships, and they build these relationships just like we do. We build these relationships for many, many years, whether it be taking producers out and making friends with them, you know, just spreading the word, networking, doing the right thing, and giving them great guests over the years.
Do you think really there's important. More? Do you think there's more opportunity now than ever, or less opportunity?
You know what? There's different opportunities now. There's a lot of different opportunities out there now. Yes, some of the media is getting smaller, like printed newspapers, but then other media, like website sort of articles and radio shows and television shows, are picking up. And radio is so important. And the majority of public relations companies in America really don't pay attention to radio. However, we do. We come from big radio backgrounds, and it's so important to be on radio. I cannot begin to stress it, but, you know, I should be telling you that, right?
So why is it important to be on radio?
So many people listen to radio. So many people either listen in their car, listen on their smartphones, listen at home. Radio, you know, is so important. I can't stress it enough. There's so many people listening to radio, even though, you know, professionals will tell you, oh, they're listening to Pandora, and they're listening to their MP3s, and they're listening to this, that, and the other. I don't know. I kind of think it's rubbish and it's old school.
All right. So if you're pitching radio, you're pitching any other form of media, what's a quick tip? Is it important? You know, people struggle with what kind of email they should write, and a lot of times it tends to be a very long email, and then the subject line usually I find is very dry from somebody, from my point of view, for people listening, that gets a lot of pitches. What's something you got to look out for?
You got to keep every, you know, as a former producer and now a publicist and PR guru, you got to keep everything short and simple. You also have to tie it into the news. It's got to be very newsworthy to get somebody's attention in the subject line. As far as what you're sending somebody, keep it super, super short, a quick bio, a few talking points, and why it's so important, and some contact information, and that's it. You know, just keep it simple, keep it short.
What's the biggest mistake people make when they do go after their own PR?
You know, I think you brought it up just a moment ago. People, when they're trying to get on radio, get on TV, get in the newsprint, they send these overwhelming pitches to producers, and then they call 100 times. You never want to upset a producer or upset a host, because it will your relationship will end quickly.
Yeah, and the calling thing probably isn't good at all. I think that most people don't even answer their phones anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. Email, super, super important. Make sure you don't get on the spam list, because, you know, if you do your own PR and you send out hundreds and thousands of emails, you're going to get on spam list, and these people are never even going to get your pitch.
Yeah. So we keep it short, you keep it simple, you don't bug the producer or the radio host or the television host or whatnot. Is another mistake, is it not knowing who you're pitching? Because I find that, and maybe some other people can relate to this, that they get pitches from people that don't even know what your show is about or don't even realize what it is that you cover.
That is probably by far the greatest point you brought up during this interview. And I'll give you a great story, a real quick great story with that. Jane Velez Mitchell used to be a nationally syndicated television host on HLN, CNN sister station. It's been known, and also because we know her as well, she's a former alcoholic, she's been in recovery, and for a while she was getting pitches from a PR company, not our company, thankfully, for a brand new beer. You know, so you really have to know your audience, you have to know who your host is, and you have to pitch correctly, because pitching a beer company to a recovering alcoholic will definitely get you on the blacklist.
Yeah, I can understand that. So, okay, so there's more opportunity. You just have to know what you're doing. You have to keep it short. You have to know who it is that you're pitching to. That completely makes sense. What about the kind of stories, if it's not, doesn't have a news hook, and is like you say, it has to be connected to what's going on in the news. If you want to get noticed for something that you do yourself, so you want to be like you're a thought leader, and somehow you've got to come up with something creative. How do you do that?
You know what? I think you could kind of keep it like as an evergreen or very generic. You could always tie something into a holiday. There's always some kind of awareness month going on, whether it be autism awareness or stress awareness or, hey, Kate Delaney Day. You know, you gotta figure out something. There's always a kind of a spin that you could use. It's spring, it's fall, it's winter. Something is always going on. You could always tie your message in. You just got to be creative and think out of the box.
All right, be creative. And as you know, we can only imagine there is more opportunities. You got to figure out what those opportunities are. But people, producers and reporters, with the way things have changed, are getting pummeled by all kinds of people, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's crazy. You know what? Just keep your message on point. Hire a good public relations person. Hey, I would love everybody to hire me, but I get it. They want to hire other people, too. So, you know what? Do the right thing. Make sure all your ducks are in a row, and you'll be good.
All right. Mark Goldman, thank you so much. You can check him out at goldmanmccormick.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
All right, so again, I think what Mark said is right on point. As somebody who's a reporter for a living, the things that you have to look for are the hooks and knowing, as we talked about, who you're pitching. So what are you hooking them in with? Are you hooking into a certain day? Obviously, holidays are easy. If it's a special day that's been created, like Grandparents' Day or Mother's Day or Father's Day or whatever it might be, not necessarily even just the traditional holidays, look for those angles. If there's something dramatic that has happened, if there's a recall, a food recall, and you're in the health world, or you've got some other way to connect yourself, do it. That's what you want to do. I say this all the time. People aren't aware of what's happening in the world. You get busy, we get in our bubbles. I get it. I certainly, shockingly, have been there occasionally in my life. But you won't know what the top stories are. You want to know what people are talking about. What's buzzworthy? How are you buzzworthy? That's what I say to people. How are you buzzworthy? And how do you plug into what the narrative is? And this can be, by the way, locally, regionally, nationally. You could be out speaking somewhere and there's something happening right where you're speaking and it ties in nicely to where you happen to be, what you're speaking about. Maybe you invite the media person there if it completely makes sense, because that's the other thing. If you're speaking at a big event, that can be the central point of wherever it is you are. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's just whatever the issue is that's being tackled, or the theme. Theme might be a better way to put it. A lot of conventions have themes, and the themes tie into whatever it is that is, at the moment, the heartbeat of that particular area or nationally, and that's what you want to tie into. Thus, you create this attention for the event where you are, so that's a win-win all the way around. The key is, there's no doubt, the key is what Mark said, is to keep it simple, to make it on point. Make sure you know who you are pitching, not to harass them with way too many phone calls, because as we all know in our own worlds, it's about texts and emails and other ways to communicate for the most part. So don't do that, and you'll have a great chance at getting your message out there and perhaps hitting it out of the park.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.